I want to share a story with you this morning. This is a story that wasn't highlighted in our 25th anniversary, and the reason for that is that there's so many stories over 25 years, as you can imagine. We couldn't highlight all of them in the 25th anniversary. In fact, I was talking to one of our band members this morning, and he was saying, I just love it when you bring a story out of the vault. And so I want to bring another story out of the vault this morning, because this will really encourage you and really inspire you. Around 1996, I think it was, Christy and I were doing a little bit of ministry in the United States. We're over there for about 2 or 3 weeks. And while we were there, we visited a friend of ours who'd just moved his church into a renovated nightclub. They'd bought this nightclub and renovated it, and we walked in there, and it was an auditorium very similar to this one. And, you know, I don't say that God talks to me on a regular basis. I've heard his audible voice probably a couple of times in my Christian life, but invariably when I say the Lord speaks to me, probably much like yourself, you know that you've had a thought that is more intelligent than you, or it's a thought that you're kind of thinking along this way, and then suddenly your thoughts are diverted. And that's what happened to me. I walked into that auditorium, and I had this overwhelming sense from the Spirit of God that we were to get Bayside Church into something similar to that. I just looked around there, and I was completely gripped by it. And so when I came back, I shared it with Christy, of course, and then shared it with our board, and then shared it with the whole church. We were meeting at Mentone Girls Secondary College at the time. And I shared with them that I sensed from the Spirit of God that we were supposed to get the church into its own facility. We had been meeting in various rental accommodation, but the church was growing, and really we needed a facility for the vision of the church. And so we started a building campaign, and I called it Building for a Vision. And I called it that deliberately because as a church, we never had a vision for a building. I'd been involved in a couple of churches that did have a vision for a building. And what I saw, I didn't like. It was like the building program kind of hijacked the vision of the church. The church reduced its focus on missions. It reduced its focus on outreach. Everything became about the building. And I thought, that's not going to happen in a church that I'm leading. So I called it Building for a Vision. At the same time, we increased our giving to missions locally and foreign missions as well, so that we kept outwardly focused as a church community. And since the beginning of Bayside, back in 1992, every week we'd been taking a percentage of our tithes and offerings and putting it into a building fund account. So we had mounted up a small sum, but then during this couple of years, I really encouraged the church, anyone who wanted to invest into this building for a vision. And so that's what we did. Around 1997, I had a phone call from a businessman in Melbourne. He and his wife and family attended City Life Church. And he rang me and he said that he had a vision, and that was to identify 2 or 3 churches around Melbourne that were new, that were in rental accommodation, that preached the Word of God, proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and flowed in the Holy Spirit, and churches that he felt needed a hand up. And so this guy's name is Merv Dickey. As a member of City Life, I decided to ring City Life Church, Mark Connor, the senior pastor, and I thought, you know, I'll just check this guy out, make sure it was okay with Mark that a member of his congregation was going to be helping us. Mark was really generous, and he said, yep, that's wonderful. And so Merv and I caught up, and he said to me, he said that Bayside was the church he had identified as the church that he would like to help in the southern part of Melbourne. Good news, huh? And so we talked about it, and for the next couple of years, we would catch up on a regular basis, and every time I saw a for lease sign or every time I saw a for sale sign, it was kind of diverting and going and checking out. We looked at land, we looked at leasing buildings, we looked at buying buildings, and we realized over the process of time that buying land and building was going to be beyond us as a congregation, way beyond us, that leasing was not a good option for us. And so we decided that we were going to buy. And we wanted a warehouse, something like this, with clear span, without poles coming down and all that kind of stuff. So we looked, and over the next couple of years, checking out lots of different places. One morning, there was a real estate agent who was helping us as well, a Christian guy, and many of you will know Andrew and Karen Buckmaster. They were members of Christchurch Dingley. Andrew passed away a few years ago. But at the time, Andrew knew that we were looking for a building. And so he would ring me from time to time and just let me know of a building that had become available. One particular morning, he rang me and he said, "There's this place that's become available in Argus Street." And so I said, "Well, I'll meet you there." Our offices were a block up the road on Mill Street. Colin and Lisa McInnes-Smith owned a factory at that time, and we rented a little bit of office space from them. And so I met Andrew here with Merv and also a couple of our board members. And as we looked through this warehouse, it kind of ticked every box that of a building that we were looking for. And so long story short, we decided to put an offer in. And the offer was $1.2 million, which was way beyond what we were able to do, naturally speaking. And so the offer was accepted. We had $180,000 in our building fund account, and they wanted a 20% deposit. Now, if you're anything like me, you need help with the maths. So I've already done the figures at home, so I can bring them to you. The deposit was $240,000, which was 60K more than what we had. And so I talked it through with Merv and with our board, and Merv said, "Right, okay, this is what I'm going to do." He said, "You write out a check from Bayside Church for $120,000," and he said, "I'm going to write out a check for $120,000," and he said, "That's not a gift, it's a loan, and I want you as a church, as you've got it, I want you to pay that amount back, but I want you to pay it back to outreach and evangelism and missions." And so I said, "Okay, done deal." And so we signed, and we went through town planning, which was another story, a bit of a nightmare story, which I'll share with you at another time. But we eventually got a permit to use this building as a place of worship, and this building became ours. Now, I'm not one given to anxiety or panic attacks, but I did have one around that time. And it was in my office. My office is in the top corner. It actually has two windows. One of my prayers was, because my office back in Mill Street was right at the back of the warehouse and had no windows. And I prayed and I said, "Lord, please, when I get an office in the new building, could I have a window?" And he gave me two. Because that's the nature of God, right? And so we moved in here, but I was standing up in the office one day and I was looking out of the window and I suddenly had this bit of mini meltdown. It was like, "We've borrowed nearly $1 million and we're only a church of 300 people and that included kids." So anyway, we finally did the fit out, and I've got to tell you, I mean, that was another faith journey, because all we had left in our building fund account was $60,000, and when you're fitting out a building, that does not go a long way. We had an amazing number of people who volunteered time. One night there was a stack of us working upstairs in the office area. We pulled down all of the ceiling tiles because they'd gone brown from people smoking in here since the 70s. We pulled them all down, all the bats, and we replaced the bats and the ceiling tiles. We went home about 4 o'clock in the morning covered in fiberglass. But they were the things that you did to just make that money go as far as we possibly could. We put in a small auditorium. The original auditorium had a platform over there where the sound desk is, and there was about kind of, we cut it off about there, so it was quite small. And then the back part of the building we leased out to Ryan Industries next door, and they leased it for a couple of years, and their lease payments covered the interest on the loan for the next 2 years, which actually made it all very, very doable. During that two-year period, this church doubled in size. We went from 300 to 640 people in 2 years. The following 4 years, we doubled again. And so the building actually never became a burden. It's only ever been a blessing to us as a church. And a few years ago, we were able to pay the complete building off. And so this building stands here today completely debt-free. How good is that? Amen. So about 2 years after we moved in, Merv rang me. We'd caught up on a regular basis since that time. We developed a great friendship. But he rang me one day and he said, "There's a friend of his who's going to do some evangelism in Myanmar and it was going to cost $15,000. And were we able as a church to cover that cost for him?" And we said, "Yes, we can do that." And so that $15,000 came off the $120,000, and then we only owed $105,000. And then it would have been near Christmas, probably 2002, 2003. And Merv and I were catching up for dinner and, for lunch, and just chatting away. And I said to him, I said, you know, it was great that we were able to pay that $15,000. And I said, you know, I'm aware that we still need to pay the rest of the $105 off over the process of time. And he said, got some news for you on that. And he slipped an envelope across the table. And I opened it up, and there was a letter basically expressing his appreciation for the way that Bayside Church had conducted itself, for the way that we'd reached out to people, for the way people were being saved and lives changed and transformed. And he said, I'm so happy with what's happening. He said, I hereby cancel the $105,000 debt, which was good news, let me tell you. And so isn't that a wonderful story? Now, Merv passed away last weekend. He'd battled with cancer for about a year. His wife, Margie, died a few years ago from cancer. They've left 5 adult children. And tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to be attending Merv's funeral. But I wanted to share with you, because I sent a message to a couple of their kids the other day, now adults, married, got kids of their own. And I just said, you know, thank you so much. I want to thank you and honour your dad and your mum for the amazing faith that they had, not just in Jesus, but in us as a local church, small and you know, in a high school hall and setting up every Sunday morning and all that that entails. And I said, your dad saw something in this church and decided to give us a hand, not just a hand out, a hand up. And a lot of what he and Margie sowed into Bayside Church at that particular time has given us the ability to do the vision that God has called us to do as a church. The school hall that we were in, incidentally, we moved out in the middle of the year 2000. It was the first, from memory, the first weekend of August 2000. And a few weeks later, that was completely gutted, that hall, and turned into a theaterette. So it was no longer available to us anyway. And there was actually no other building in this whole area that was available every weekend that would fit us as a church. And so not only would our growth have been stunted, the vision of the church would have been hindered as well if God hadn't have raised up Merv Dickey to be a blessing to us at this time. And so I want to share that with you today to encourage you. There's a man and his wife who saw something and left a legacy that we are still enjoying today here at Bayside that has been such a blessing. He was never even a member of this church, but he saw the body of Christ as bigger than one local church and wanted to make a difference. And boy, what a difference he and his wife have made to our church. And so tomorrow as I go to the funeral, I will take your love and your greetings to the whole family. And I'm looking forward to standing strong with that beautiful family and honouring their dad tomorrow afternoon. I share all of that just to encourage you because, you know, our giving is about a legacy, is it not? That's what First Fruits is about. It's about leaving a legacy. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, Jesus said that we should build up treasures in heaven because moth and rust and vermin don't destroy stuff in heaven. And heaven's not just up there somewhere. As we sang this morning, Jesus loves us so much, he's brought heaven to earth. And so our prayer, as we taught in the Lord's Prayer, is that God's will would be done and that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know another thing that we can give to that actually leaves an eternal legacy. Merv's departed this world and he's with Jesus right now, but his legacy lives on. Many of you have invested into the kingdom of God over the years. Your investment is an eternal investment. I can give money and I can use money for lots of different things, but they're all temporary. But when we invest in an eternal kingdom, our investment is forever, is it not? We build up treasure in heaven. That investment is only going to do good. And so I want to encourage you to leave a legacy in First Fruits this year. And not just in First Fruits, but every time we give, we're leaving a legacy. An offering is not about money in a bucket. An offering is about investing into something that is eternal. And so with that in mind, let's invest in this church this morning. Amen. If you need a card to give your tithe or offering by credit card, just raise your hand up. The ushers will bring those around to you. Let's get our tithes ready. Let's get our offerings ready. And with that mindset today, and not just today, but every day, let's invest in something eternal. I think about since we moved into this building and the lives that have been changed and transformed. Many of you, just over 50% of this church is their first church. So yeah, we've had people transfer from other churches and we've had people move into the area and all of that, and that's wonderful. But about 52% of Bayside Church, for them, Bayside is their first church. And so God is using this local church to reach people. We see people almost every weekend, people come to faith in Christ and doing the Alpha course and learning about Jesus and being transformed from the inside out. That's what the kingdom is all about, amen? It's about making disciples, people that are disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what our investment is all about. So I encourage you to hold your tithe, your offering in your hand. If you're giving by push pay or online, you can do that online. Of course, those of you who are live streaming with us as well. But you can hold your smart device in your hand. And let's just pray over this. Amen. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just want to thank you for Merv. And thank you for Margie, Lord God. We don't know why lives end sometimes in such tragedy. But Lord God, we know that as long as they had life and breath, they loved you with all their hearts. And they invested in your kingdom. And your kingdom has grown as a result. And so we bless their legacy. And we thank you for Merv and Margie's five kids, Lord God. Tomorrow in the funeral, we pray that your presence will dwell there strongly. We pray that you'll bring encouragement and comfort, Lord God. There is wisdom in the house of mourning. We pray that people that are there tomorrow who don't know you will be drawn closer to you, close to you as a result. We thank you for Merv's legacy that lives on in this church. What an amazing legacy. Bless him for it, Lord God, I pray. Treasure in heaven, where moths don't destroy, where rust doesn't eat. Lord, we just want to thank you. And I thank you for the hundreds of people at Bayside over the years who have invested their time and their finance and their abilities into this house to make it all that it is now. Let the future begin as we invest into your house today. Bless every gift and every giver in this offering, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.